Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, how you doing today? This is just kind of everything I'm against. It's the motivator. Who he is right now?
Not on the motivation speaking, but also the point and the comedy. And I'm looking at all the
five
of them.
Yeah,
that's it.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Mr. Motivator Show. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will fulfill your purpose in life. My name is Dwight Jeffrey. Welcome to the Mr. Motivator Show. We have a great show lined up for you today. And the topic is maximizing your potential. Don't you go anywhere. You put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad. It's time for you to get some inspiration and some motivation. Again, welcome to the Mr. Motivator Show. And also, those of you that just tuned in, please check out my blog. That's dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, and that is at C Mr. Motivator. C as in the letter car, MRMOTIVATOR. C Mr. Motivator. Maximizing your potential. Have you ran into challenges in life or on your job where you felt that you were eliminated from that job, or maybe you didn't advance because there was something missing in your life? Maybe could it be the fact that you didn't maximize your potential? You see, all of us have potential within us, and our potential can remain dormant if we never tap into it. Now, when you maximize something, that means you push it up to a higher degree. And it's time for you to maximize your potential so you can achieve those goals and you can accomplish the things in life that you aspire to accomplish. And for those of you who have ran into some challenges like that, not only have we as adults ran into challenges, some of us have children, some of us have teenagers, and even students in college that may have challenges in different areas in their lives because they have not processed everything or found a way to maximize their potential. And today our show is about helping you find a way to maximize your potential. I want you to think for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Is it something that you want to do but that you actually backed away from because you felt or you feel that you don't measure up? Folks, you can maximize your potential. And you can maximize your potential in every area of your life. You don't have to be limited to just one area. But being a former educator, I've ran into situations where people often sometimes want to give up because they feel challenged in specific areas. It could be reading, or it could be history, it could be English. There are so many different areas that sometimes we feel that we're not good in, or we just feel too embarrassed to even talk about it. But folks, don't feel embarrassed. You can always improve your life just by learning how to maximize your full potential. Even though they say that a lot of people are afraid to stand up and speak in front of people. The fear of speaking in front of audiences terrifies a lot of people. But now, folks, do you know another area that terrifies people? Some people are terrified by man. And they feel that they have a difficult time trying to remember formulas or equations in their heads. Or maybe they just feel threatened by all of the numbers that they see in the math class. And a lot of people want to forget about math, or some students even try to substitute that subject to go around it because they feel that they're inadequate in that area. Well, folks, you tuned into the right show today. You are listening. You that are listening, you will have access to improving and maximizing your full potential. And we want to welcome our special guest here that's with us today. His name is Mr. Ken Everett. He's a math consultant, also an educator. And he's figured out a way to help a lot of people that are challenged in the area of math. And we're going to let him give you some details and talk more about it. So those of you that are listening, get you some, get you a pen so you can write down the information so that if you want to have access to some of these awesome materials that he's going to talk to us about, feel free to do so. And if you can think of anyone in your family or friend that may need help, get the information for them. Now, again, we want to welcome our guest, Mr. Ken Everett, to the Mr. Motivator Show. Hello, Ken. How are you?
Doing fine, Mr. Motivator. Doing just fine.
Ken, could you tell us, the audience, all of us, a little bit about yourself, and just let us know who you are and how you end up moving into the area that you felt that you needed to help a lot of people in.
Well, first of all, Mr. Motivator, you have to understand that when God is in control of your life and you're trying to follow him and you follow his direction, then it's a little easier to go in the direction that he has you to go in. First of all, I like to say that it's a privilege to be on your show, and I hope I can say something that can help a lot of people out there that have children and that are struggling with math, and maybe they're even struggling with math themselves. They want to go back to school, but they're afraid that taking some math classes may show them up once again like it did when they was in high school. Well, have no fear. Knowledge plus skills is here.
Yes.
We can change that. We can change your attitude about math, because knowledge plus skills will motivate to educate. I've been teaching over 20-some years, a math consultant. And I got into this math thing because God led me in this direction, because I was pretty good in math. Starting in third grade, I found out I was pretty good in math. Not that I was terrible in other subjects, but don't ask me to spell nothing. But the thing is that I continue to move forward in math, and God just led me to be able to take some classes early in high school. And then when I went to college, I didn't really know I was going to be a math major until I took calculus. And not forget, teachers will make an impact on individuals. Her name is Helen Bourgeois, and you have to realize that I had her in college back in 1976, but I still remember her because she made an impact on my life. And so she said to me, she said, I was expecting you to get an A in my class, and I received a high B. I said, well, I knew I had done well enough for the whole year that I was going to get a B in your class. She said, well, have you thought about being a math major? I said, nah. She said, well, go ahead and continue to take more math classes and see how well you're doing. So my junior year, I started telling people I was a math major and ended up graduating math and psychology. So, Mr. Motivator, I'm here to help your audience and let them know that I can make a difference, not only in your lives, if they're talking about the STAR test, they're talking about the ISE test, they're talking about the ITBS, the PSAT, the SSAT, the THEA, the ASVAG, the ACCUPLACE, they're taking developmental math classes in community college, and they're struggling. They got the SAT, ACT. My math concept book can make the difference because I simplified everything. No pencil, no paper, no calculator, and some of the concepts I've never been seen before.
Wow. Well, first of all, Ken, I want to thank you for coming on the show just to share this incredible information with our listeners and with our audience today, because there are so many people that are challenged in math. And to know that you have accomplished the goal of helping people improve themselves in those areas and also helping them to be efficient at passing all of the different exams that you talked about, I think that's just an incredible feat. Now, when we maximize our potential, it helps us to realize that we can set a worthy worthwhile goal for ourselves, and to know that people can set goals to be better in math, they can achieve more success is an incredible thing. Now, Ken, I'm looking at your book, and this is an awesome book. I even love the way you have the front cover designed, and I see there's a calculator, there's a pencil, and the pencil is broken, and there's a sheet of paper. Now, and then I see in the middle of the book, around the globe, knowledge plus skills. And around that is no pencil, no paper, no calculator. Now, could you explain to us a little bit about what all this means?
Well, first of all, Jeffrey, Mr. Motivator, you have to understand that when a person looks at a picture, it has to portray something to them. And so I wanted the cover to send a message that you don't really have to have a calculator. You don't even really have to have a pencil. You don't really have to have any paper. You just have to have the knowledge and then the skills, which will make things a lot easier so that you don't have to use that calculator, you don't have to use that pencil, you don't have to use that paper. See, our philosophy is we write it on your brain before you write it on your paper.
Mm-hmm.
See, because if you write it on your brain, that means when you leave out of the classroom or if you leave from home or wherever you're at getting this knowledge, and if it's on your brain, you don't have to worry about the paper. But if you just didn't really pay attention and you just took all these notes and then all of a sudden you lose the notes and you don't get a chance to go home and look at the notes, then you waste a lot of time. So our philosophy is we're going to write on your brain, and then this on your brain is starting to stay. So the cover of the book sends a message that anyone, no matter what age you are, can use knowledge plus skills, and that's what this book is. That's why it's designed, so that we can get our children and get more people to understand that the brain is so important, and the information that you put on the brain, you can always recall it back up.
Wow, that's awesome. And I'm looking at this book, and Ken, another thing I noticed about your book is it's not a large book. It's small enough to fit in a backpack or a briefcase, and it's not heavy at all. I mean, it seems like a light book that you could take with you anywhere you want to go. Now, could you explain to us why your math book covers so much in the content, but yet it's a small book?
Well, first of all, Jeff, you got to understand the fact that that God says all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. It didn't say as big as an oak tree. He said small. See, so it's small for the simple reason is that math books usually intimidate people because they're so big and they're so thick. And you don't want to carry them around. See, this book is so small that one of the young ladies that I helped that never passed a test, the tax test for here in Texas, she had my book and she carried it in her purse because I told her that, you know, keep the book with you when you're not doing anything, go over some of the concept because our children waste too much time. That's too much wasted time.
Yeah,
and if you think about it, no child is going to be walking around with some big math book all during the day. They're already intimidated if they have a book by calling them a nerd or whatever. So you can't expect them to carry a big math book. But this book is so small, you can almost put it in your back pocket. You definitely can walk around with it all day long.
Yeah.
And so it's designed that way so that it's not intimidating. And I've taken information that math books take 4 and 5 pages and sometimes 10 pages to get the information across. I get it across in one page.
Wow. Ken, this is just incredible. I mean, just the way you have this organized and the way it's illustrated is just unbelievable. And I noticed you start off with simple formulas and you break them down. Now, Ken, how do you handle a student who have a lot of fear? I noticed sometimes you have some students that are just terrified from wanting to pick up the book or wanting to even make an attempt to try and solve the problem. So, Ken, how do you eradicate this fear and help the student or the adult be comfortable enough to want to learn and to go forward with this?
Well, the way that's been addressed is the fact that there's no math book out there that's going to motivate you to learn except Knowledge for Skills, math concept book. See, this book, may I give all the credit to God, because this book is designed so that there's not a person that has to be in front of you to motivate you with this book. This book motivates you because, first of all, it's not intimidating.
Yes.
So if you're a slow student or if you're a student that don't like math, if you're not intimidated, then the fact is that I've simplified it so that you could be in the fourth grade, fifth grade, and still understand it because of I've made things so simple. Let me just give you a prime example how simple this is.
Okay.
You know, so many students struggle with negative time, negative, positive time, positive, negative time, positive, okay? Well, let's make this simple. If you have two negatives, if you combine them together, you can make it into a cross. That's a plus sign. So a negative time a negative is a positive. So it's the same with dividing. If you divide a negative divided by a negative, you can bring them together and make a positive.
Uh-huh.
That means a negative divided by a negative is a positive. Then if you have a negative time a positive, you don't see the positive. You see the negative. Therefore, it's negative. Negative divided by positive. You don't see the positive. So it's a negative. So you keep it visual, you make it simple, and that way the person is not intimidated. You just think about if a person is still struggling with a horizontal and vertical line, you can't ride no horse straight up in the air. You ride it across. That's a horizontal line.
Right.
Vertical, if you have an algebra, you have to know whether a horizontal line has a slope or if it doesn't. You walk on the floor every day. That's a horizontal line.
Yes.
It has a slope of zero. When the last time you walked up a wall? That's a vertical line. It's undefined.
Yes.
That's how simple. That's just a little of what's in this book.
Yes.
See, so a person that has struggled with math, let's say you've been struggling with negative times and negative and all that, and then all of a sudden you've been struggling for 10, 12 years, and then I come along and show you this visually, and then you see it. Oh, I had a kid, a senior. I went through it and I demonstrated with my hands and made it a plus sign. The kid said, boom, I got this. A senior have been struggling all these years.
Yes.
If they don't get this book is so powerful because it was created not by my mind, but by the mind that God gave me.
That is incredible. Ken, another question I wanted to ask you also is that how do you, some students and even some adults have asked me, what is the advantage of learning all of this math? What are other areas that math can help us with besides just being able to pass a math test? What is so special about math, and why is it that people put so much emphasis on math? And could you elaborate on that?
I'm just going to keep it real simple. Just because of the fact that your mind is always thinking. If you hear that math, yesterday a teacher was moving something out of the room, and I saw she was struggling. It was stuck up underneath the door. Well, I just took and put my foot in between where it was stuck at and used it as a level to push it out from up underneath the door. She had been struggling for a while. So you're going to use math all the time, and then math builds up your confidence. I don't care because of the fact that you're saying, I don't want to do math, I don't like math. Now, you've got to start to understand that it's going to benefit you because your confidence is going to go up. And our children have got to be introduced to math concepts, especially concepts out of my book, at an early age. Build that confidence up. Don't wait until your child has been beat up and got some bad grades in class. No, he hates math. We got to get it to the point where he's enjoying math. How can you get your kid or your child to start to like math, or how can you get yourself to start to like math? I'll tell you how.
Okay.
Get you a knowledge plus skills concept book and see how easy it'll be. Go to www.nopencilnopaper.com and read some of the testimonies about this concept book.
Wow. I think we want to give that out again for the people that are listening. You may want to jot that down. I believe Ken said go to
No pencil, no paper.
Okay, I'm gonna repeat that one more time. No pencil, no paper.com, and you can order this incredible book for your child or for a friend, or maybe you can get it for yourself. Now, Ken, I saw some comments, and there's some principals on here that have made some comments about your book. Now, I don't want you to give out their names or anything like that, but could you at least tell everybody what some of these principals at different schools had to say about this book, about this incredible book you have?
Before I even go and talk about what principals would say, to tell you how valuable the information that I have, Let's go beyond a principle, and let's talk about Region 10. Region 10 is an educational center where when they have information that can help different schools, they call administrators in and they ask them to come in and check out some things that they found out. Well, guess what Region 10 did? They said, we think that you need to see what knowledge plus skill is doing in the classroom to make a difference. So I just want to write to them, read you just what it says.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Everett, I am very excited. Now, remember, this is coming from Region 10. I am very excited about working with you this fall and want to thank you for agreeing to present an administrator leadership training workshop for Region 10 Educational Service. We are in the process of finalizing the contract for the fall 2011 semester. Enclosed, you will find forms requesting information needed for the preparation of this of our session. Okay? Now, you got to understand, this letter goes beyond what a principal would say, because we're saying Region 10 now is saying we need for other teachers, other administrators, other principals, to see what Region 10 is doing. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, I had an engineer from TI.
Yeah.
He had to say this. Let me just skim down and go what he says. He says, the first day that Kenneth came by, I sat with him and my son to watch the transition. I was amazed at how my son responded to him. I saw him smile for the first time while learning how to easily handle difficult problems, something he wouldn't do for me when I tried to tutor him. Kenneth broke down many tough concepts into simple, easy steps that I had not seen before. And I'm an engineer that knows how to solve those problems. By the end of the first two-hour session, my son could work problems that he surely would have passed or given up on while in class or test. That's what I do because it's a gift, and I give God the credit all the time. I don't take credit for something that I know was given to me because he could have chose anyone to give this gift to, but he chose it for me. He chose me because he knew I would do right by him, and that is by giving him the credit.
Wow, that is just stunning, and I want to commend you on your accomplishment for being selected by Region 10 to assist them with this your program and to use your materials to help other illustrators. I think that's awesome. Now I know you shared with us a letter from one of the principals. And you shared with us a letter from an engineer. Now, for the benefit of the audience listening, do you have any letters maybe from some of the children or students that have used this book and how it may have helped them?
I'm glad you asked that, because if you hadn't asked it, I would have told you that I have so many letters from over years and years of these using these concepts. Like if you heard in the earlier part the fact that these concepts can be taught to our children earlier. I had a student that never passed the tax test, never since seventh grade. I want to read you this letter that this student wrote to me after passing the tax test and just came up and just hugged my neck and just was unbelievable. She said, Mr. Everett is a true inspiration to me and a lot of other students. Without him and before this incredible man, I wasn't very confident that I would ever be good or even do well in mathematics. I deeply appreciate his kindness and patience that he has given me. Mr. Everett is one of the best people I have ever encountered in all my years of being in school. I have never been so happy to be in anyone's math class before. He repeats and explains questions, which makes me wonder why aren't there more teachers like him. I wish he could be my teacher my last 2 years of high school. Heck, maybe all through college as well. I freaking adore him and hope he will soon be rewarded. Well, like I said, Jeffrey, being on your show right now, I'm being rewarded.
Yes. Well, I tell you, Mr. Motivator's goal is to find positive ideas, positive solutions, positive things to inspire and to help others. And I must say that I have really been inspired by your efforts and your accomplishments in the areas of helping people in a challenging subject like math. And to experience these letters and to see all this taking place is just serene to me. The other question I want to ask you is, I noticed at the front of the book, you for someone that may have, that's negative, you started the book off with some positive quotes, and I was impressed with that. And have you always been positive like you are now? I mean, I've known you for a few years now, and you've always been a very positive person, and you never give up. And could you let the audience know why your book is so positive, why it's so powerful, and could you share a little bit with us on that, please?
I sure would. One of the things that when you get my book, the first thing in the book is the very first page you turn to is a poem. And I wrote this poem. I've been doing poetry for Dali. I just want to say since 30, 40 years. Not trying to tell my age or anything. But the fact that I wrote this particular poem for my daughter because I wanted her to always feel good about herself. And this particular poem is called Feel Good, and it says, feel good. You have to feel good about yourself. You have to feel real good about yourself. Even if you're going through changes, feel good about yourself, for you are blessed. You are still alive. You're still walking around. You still have your right mind, not locked up, not doing time. You're blessed. You're blessed. So don't go around depressed. You may not have what you want, but think about your needs and not your wants, for you are blessed. You are still alive. You could be homeless. You could have AIDS. You could be dead in your grave. You have to feel good about yourself. You have to feel real good about yourself. Even if you're going through changes, feel good about yourself, for you are blessed. If you are going through changes, they won't last always. Just hang in there. Never give up, for you are blessed. Just keep on keeping on, for God will bless you. Just hold your head up and never give up. For trouble won't last always. You have to feel good about yourself. You have to feel real good about yourself. Even if you're going through changes, feel good about yourself. So, Mr. Moray, that's in the very front of the book. See, because I want them to start off with this book feeling good about themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the last poem in the book,
okay.
I wanted to share that with them. It should be in it's called The Race of Life.
Now, Ken, thank you for sharing it. And it's also amazing that you're an incredible poet, and you do poetry. And I've always loved poetry. And the one that you're getting ready to read now, The Race for Life, is one of my favorites. And I noticed you have it in the book. Now, could you share this particular poem, especially with our audience, because this is a beautiful poem, and I think it's going to really encourage someone. Well, go right ahead, Ken.
Well, this particular poem is called Race of Life. See, with this life that we're running, it is a race. It says run, run, run. We must all run the race of life, be it short or be it long. The race of life must continue on, even though the finish line is not in sight. Continue to run the race of life. Never, never, never run the race of life alone, for there are too many things that could go wrong. Get tangled up, trip up, and fall. Need some help to continue on. Never, never run the race of life alone. You're going to need some help to get up, to finish the race, to come in first place. You have to be strong. You cannot quit. Never, never run the race of life alone. If you want to get up and come in first place, remember, G-I-T-A, God is the answer. Just pray.
Ken, thank you. Thank you for that beautiful poem. It was just so inspiring to me. And you that are listening today, I hope you really take this information at heart and realize that you can maximize your potential. You can improve yourself where you are right now in life. Ken knows about the ups and downs and the challenges that people have. And that's why he put this book together. And he wanted to just really help a lot of people. Now, another thing I don't know if Ken wanted me to share this, but this news was passed on to me here at the studio, and I wanted to ask Ken to validate this to make sure, just to see if it's true. Now, Ken, I heard that you will be doing your show. You will be doing your very own show, and I just wanted to make sure that's not just a rumor. And if you plan on doing the show, could you let us know right now, since we're on the air, so we can let our viewers know. So go ahead and answer that for me.
Yes, we are going to be on the show. That's going to probably start not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday. If we do it this Thursday, we'll let you know. I'm going to do it because I have so many parents that are constantly asking me for more and more information of how they could help their child. And the thing that I'm telling them, first of all, is get the book. And that's going to be starting. And then once I have my show, I'm going to be giving out so much information that you're not going to want to miss it.
Wow. Thank you, Ken. Did you all hear that? Get ready. Ken Everett has his show that's getting ready to premiere, to make his debut. And I know it's going to be an awesome show, Ken. I'm excited and I'm just happy to know that you're doing this. And also, Ken, for some of our listeners that may be listening, could you tell us some of the people who've been inspirational and motivational in your life? Could you tell us who's your favorite athlete, and tell us who your role model was growing up, and share a few other things along that line for the audience?
Well, first of all, when you think about a role model, you must put Jesus there first, because he's the ultimate role model. But it takes somebody to introduce you to him. You know, it just doesn't happen. You walk along and all of a sudden you just know Jesus. Someone has to plant some positive seeds. Someone has to introduce you to him. Someone has to tell you about it. Somebody has to tell you about his life. That person was my mom, you know, making sure that we had Bible study, which was so important at an early age, because you end up receiving certain values. And so to have a role model, to have Jesus as a role model, and then have your mom to be the one to introduce you to Jesus, and not taking anything away from my father, but it's nothing like a mother, because a mother is going to do for a child when a father won't. And so she's been the main role model for me, and in return, I've tried to be the best role model that I could be for my children. And I know that if I continue to let them know that it's not about me, but it's about their relationship with Jesus, then it's a done deal. You know, they set for life, because I told the fact that I said if I can make sure that my children have that relationship with God, then he can take me anytime he wants, because I can't keep them and I can't keep myself, but he can keep us all.
Very, very well said. Very well said. Now, another question I had, and I definitely want you to answer this, Ken, before you leave. Sometimes I remember dealing with some things at school with, I would have to say, bullying was an issue. And I saw some kids being picked on or threatened in the classroom. And there were even some students who backed away from being their best or maximizing their potential because they didn't want people to look at them funny or call them a nerd. But, Ken, could you elaborate on this bullying issue and what's the best way for a student to handle this or get help, or how should a parent interact if they feel that this is going on at their school, if this thing is happening to their child?
Well, first of all, you know, bullying is going to happen regardless if you're young or old. But I think the thing that has to happen is that the individual has to first be comfortable with himself or herself, and that's going to come by parents introducing their children to Jesus. So we're waiting too late. We're waiting too late, and then peer pressure comes in and affects it. I didn't have a problem with peer pressure. The problem I had was making sure I did the right thing in God's eyesight. And so someone teased me, which I did. I got teased. I had a guy that for whatever reason just didn't like me. I don't know why. I go to the park and he wanted to chase me out the park. I just happened I was fast enough where he couldn't catch me. You know, but I think that if the individual is strong enough, my mom always made a point to us to say it's better to say there he goes than there he lay. that stuck with us. So, you know, as far as getting into fights, I mean, I would always smile. People joked and talked about us because we had pigs and we had some chickens, and so we got joked, but I always would laugh at myself. So how can a person continue to mess with you when you're laughing at yourself? So pretty soon they backed away, and it wasn't a big deal. But if they know that they can say something to get you upset, to get you to where you want to fight, anybody can have a fight with you, because all they got to do is say some things to make you mad. But if a person is smiling and laughing at those things, you can keep moving. But the only way I was able to do that was I had that inner strength. And that inner strength came from having that relationship with Jesus. And so if our children can get that relationship, they can deal with peer pressure. But if it does come, you got to tell somebody. You just got to tell somebody. As a parent, you know, you got to nip this thing in the bud. If your child comes home and tells you that they are getting bullied at school, you need to go there yourself. Don't think about you got to lose money off of your job or whatever. You got to take off of work and go and check on your child. That's what they got to do. So it's the parent's responsibility, if the child is getting bullied, to go to the school and check it out and make sure that it doesn't happen on a regular basis.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that experience with us and with our audience today, because I'm pretty sure that could have been one of the questions that are concerned that some of the parents or some of our listeners may have had, and I just really enjoyed the way you answered that, and you shared that with us from your heart. You have certainly been a delight to our show today and to our audience, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule just to drop in here at the studio. And we're outside of the studio today because the weather's so beautiful, and we're doing this show. And again, thank you for coming by. Also, I know you've always had a great sense of humor, and you know, you always look at things in a positive and a comical way. And I guess I'm going to let you elaborate on that, but when the first time I met you, you and I were talking and laughing. I just loved your personality. But anyway, this is one of our friends, and I don't know if he's listening to the show, Cook, but this is a Travis's friend, and he wants to know if you have any advice to help him with the situation of him being challenged with those kinds of burgers.
Well, you know, the thing that, look, and I saw that burger, and that burger will take a week to eat. So what you need to do is that if you look at that burger that big and you say it take a week to eat it, make it a week. Cut your little piece off, you know, and save the rest. But you know, I just putting all the joking aside, you know, my mom told me one thing. I got a lot of wisdom from my mom and from my dad. She always told us, because it was six boys and one girl, and she told us, she said, you only get one body. That's it. Just one. So if you're only gonna get one body, how will you take care of that body? You know, it's like a car. Someone told you you're only going to get one car the rest of your life. You change the oil, you change the tires, you go get the transmission check, you do all the things to keep it running. So it's the same thing with your body. So when you look at things that you know is detrimental to the body, you have to say, will I be able to replace this? If I get diabetes, if I get this, how would I deal with this? So just think of it that this is the only body that you have, and God gave it to you, and he gave it to you to manage the best way you can. And when you're not doing what you need to do to put into your body what needs to be done, then you're not managing your body like God wanted you to manage it.
Thank you. You're so right, and I appreciate you sharing it, because sometimes it's easy for us to overindulge and maybe affect our health and not realize how we're affecting it, and I appreciate you sharing your words of wisdom about that. Now, Ken, also earlier I heard you mentioning a little bit about living around chickens and horses and cows. So, Ken, that means you experience the country a little bit. And do you think that a kid being able to visit grandparents or to go out into the country, do you think that's healthy for our kids today?
Without a doubt. See, one of the things that happens is that you get a lot of wisdom when you get a chance to get around your grandparents. Now, I'm talking about grandparents that's not like 31 and 32. I'm talking about the grandparents that are, you know, that's up in age, and they sit you to the side and they talk to you and stuff. I remember my grandfather, he said one thing that stuck with all of us. He said, and this would be his voice. He said, "Boy, if you don't be nothing else, boy, you be a man."
Wow.
So as a child, that stuck with us because we knew that a man would be responsible and he would take care of whatever he needed to take care of, you know, as being an adult and being a man. And so I think that with those grandparents, my grandmom lived next door. So that's the benefit of being in the country. But we were in the city, but it was like the country because I grew up where Medical City is, where it wasn't Medical City. It was like one road going down, and then your grandmom lived next door, and then you moved out 2 hours down, and then it's your uncle. So you were getting that wisdom all the time. And I think that if more parents or more children got a chance to spend time with the grandparents to get that wisdom from them, I think they would be better off and they would know how to treat people a lot better.
You know, that's true, Ken. And the wisdom of our grandparents is just so valuable. And the wisdom that people are willing to share with you is great to receive that and sit down and to just listen, because there's so much that we all learn in life and that we can share with each other. And if you have if you're fortunate enough, blessed to have a grandparent who's been around and they can share their life experiences with you, I think it's very powerful. And also, being out in the country, Canada, I've often wanted to ask you this, but did you ever get the opportunity to experience some eggs and sausage and some burr wrap and syrup at the table?
You take me way back, Mr. Moses. You take me back to hoe cakes and all that kind of stuff when my grandma would fix. When you take that old brother rabbit syrup and you put some butter in, and then you have a sandwich. You know, I know. Don't any of you know anything about no mayonnaise sandwich, no ketchup sandwich, no sugar sandwich? But see, you value things. You value life a lot more when you struggle. See, sometimes kids think I had to do a motivational thing for a church, and I was talking to some young people, and I was like, you know, y'all running around like your mama's car is your car. You know, like we drive a Mercedes. That ain't your Mercedes. That's your mama's Mercedes. That's your daddy's Mercedes. You know, they go to school and bragging on their cars like they did their cars. I had a student, you know, that's a prime. Was struggling, and the other kid time was doing real well, and he'd come by and tell me, "What kind of car your mama, your daddy drive? What kind of car y'all got?" And I told the kid that didn't have that. I said, "Hey man, let me tell you something right now. Remember this: that's not his car. That's his mama's and daddy's car. Let's wait to see when he gets a grown person what type of car he drives, what type of car you drive, where you live, and where he lives." See, so that's a message that has to be sent, and parents need to start right now letting their children know that this house is the house that me and your daddy paying for. You just stand there for a while until you can get your own, because the kids got to understand that what their parents have is theirs. What you have is what you're going to have when you get to the point of being an adult also.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks for sharing those comments. That is so true. And we definitely need to teach our kids what responsibility is and how to be responsible. Another issue I notice with a lot of our kids, why do they like going into the bathrooms and stopping up the commodes and throwing the soap away and just destroying everything, getting rid of the paper? Do you think that's a sign that some of the students are angered, or what is the purpose of doing those things and locking the stalls where a person can't come in and use the bathroom? Or what is the purpose behind students doing that at a lot of schools?
I don't really know what the purpose is, but I know what the lack of is. It's a lack of knowing that you're destroying something that you didn't pay for. You know, you're destroying something that somebody else paid for. It's easy to tear up other people's stuff, you see. And our children have got to understand that it belongs to someone else. You didn't pay for it, so you don't have the opportunity to destroy it. But that's still going to come back. That's going to go right back to home training. See, if you miss out on some home training, oh, man, you, I see kids all the time, and I can look at a kid, and I say, man, he's missing some things at home. I can just tell the way he's carrying himself. I can tell the way he's acting. You know, he's missing something. So a lot of parents are dropping the ball. I mean, we can look at the kids and we can talk about the kids. Now, I'm not saying this, because some parents are doing a heck of a job. They just got bad kids.
Yes.
It ain't a fault. They just got some bad kids. But some of the parents have got to be more responsible for their kids and the way they act. And the thing is, it's got to start early. And the way you stop that is you introduce them to Jesus Christ at an early age.
Thank you, Ken. You answered that just beautifully. Another thing I'd like to ask you, Ken, before you leave the set, I love your book. And, Ken, I want you to know that your book was listed with Mr. Motivator's favorite books for recommendation. And what I do is, when I read quality books, books that have an impact on my life, I want to share them with others. So I just wanted you to know today that your book, Knowledge Plus Skills, No Pencil, No Paper, No Calculator, made Mr. Motivator's favorite book list. And you have to have a great book in order to make Mr. Motivator's favorite book list. So I want to compliment you on that. Now, being a former educator myself, Ken, and your book is incredible. It's a beautiful book. It's packed with so much knowledge and so many technique and processes to enhance the student's learning ability in the areas of math. How do you deal, Ken, with haters? Because I remember when my book first came out, Success is an Attitude, it angered some of my coworkers. There are a few of my coworkers that were upset about me coming out with a book that's a popular book. And now you have a book that's a popular book, a bestseller, and you're an author. And how do you deal with, Ken, haters that want to talk about you or want to try to create havoc or confusion because of you coming out with such an amazing book?
Well, Mr. Motivator, you gotta understand, I'm a positive person. I've always been a positive person. I've always told my children, I say, whenever something negative comes in your life, I guarantee you God has put something there that's positive. All you gotta do is search and find it. So I already knew that haters were gonna come out, because just because I'm in love with Jesus don't mean that I'm gonna get exempt from haters and from all the other things that come at a person that is trying to do the right thing. So since I knew that was gonna happen, it didn't surprise me. What happens is when you surprise that someone that you thought was behind you and supporting you, now they become negative. So if you know that that haters come in family members, it comes in uncles, it comes in aunties, it comes in cousins, haters come. Haters can come. So the thing that you have to understand is that when it's something that God has commissioned you to do, you better believe that haters are coming your way. So since I understood that, it doesn't bother me. I mean, that means that I'm on the right track. If I got haters, man, I need more haters, because that means I got more blessings coming.
Thank you, Ken. I just love when you ask these questions, and you were so right. We all you that are listening, we all have a purpose in this life. And, folks, I dare you to dream and to keep thinking big, because if you do that, you will fulfill your purpose in life. And, Ken, I know without a doubt that this book is helping a lot of people, and we're just so excited, just even with the people that came out today, even the folks here in our studio have been, they're just, they've been in awe seeing your book as they pass through. And I know you have some other great things to do, but I would like to ask you this. I know your book is for people of all different age groups, backgrounds, whether they're from a, and I'll let you be specific on the age that you your book can be used for a small child, and you can get the on up to the adult age. But also, since this book is used in the public schools and it's used all over the place, can this book for people who want to work with kids in the church, can how do you think the pastors could be effective with a book like this to help in their after school or their tutoring at their churches?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that out because that was one of the things that I wanted to make the point of is that I'm trying to get together with churches, all different type of organizations, nonprofit organizations. It doesn't make any difference because since this book is a motivator, remember, knowledge plus skills motivates to educate. So when a person gets this book, it's going to automatically motivate them. So what I'm trying to do with churches, I'm trying to get churches together, a group of churches, it doesn't make any difference how many, and get the kids together, and I'm going to come out and do this workshop for free. As long as each kid or each individual or each adult trying to pass developmental math, trying to pass the ASVAC test, any test, they come out, as long as they have my book, which is my Knowledge Plus Skills concept book, they have that book. I'm going to come out and do an hour and a half presentation so that they can leave with information that they can use forever.
Oh, that is awesome. And again, Ken, I'm going to give them your website. So if you interview that are listening to the show, you would like to contact Ken, go to www.nopencilnopaper.com. And also, you can email Ken. And what's your email, Ken?
Just listen to this. This email is simple. GITA, God is down, so that's what it stands for, at nopencilnopaper.com. GITA at nopencilnopaper.com.
Ken, thank you for coming out today. Looks like folks were out of time. But we'll be right back with more great shows. Don't forget to tell your friends and your loved ones to come up, to tune in and to check out the Mr. Motivator Show. And we're on Central Time, Saturday afternoons, 5:00 p.m. Folks, if you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will fulfill your purpose in life. Don't forget, you can also check us out at www.dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com and follow me on Twitter, and that is at cmrmotivator.com. The letter C as in Carl, MRMOTIVATOR. Have a great evening, and we'll look forward to seeing you again, same time, same place, next week. Thank you, and God bless.